All right. Happy first Sunday in 2020. Is that right? 2020? Didn't sound right. 2020. We're going to look today just at maybe something to help us, if you haven't started already, to remind us how important it is that we try to involve God in our planning for the new year. Most of us, by nature, have to plan some things. Some are not real big planners. And sometimes when they do not plan, it gets them in trouble and gets everyone else around them in trouble. Regardless of whether your personality is one of those or not, we still have to work on having some plans. Christine Berg said that her sister was in the University of Michigan, and she came home, and she was pretty upset. Said it wasn't going that well because it looked like she was going to fail economics class. And so her mama was just trying to be sympathetic and said, well, you know, that's okay. You know, everybody's going to fail one class. She said, yeah, but I was planning to fail chemistry, not economics. We're going to look today at James, at the situation, because the man in that James is talking about is just like people in this room, all of us, how we fail sometimes to include God in our plans and then wonder why it doesn't work out. Always. So I hope some of this is something that we can use throughout the rest of the year. In James chapter 4, verse 13 and following, he says, how foolish it is to say, today or tomorrow we will go to this town and be there for a year and do business there and get wealth. Look at all these things he's already planning. We're going to go, we're going to stay there a year, and we're going to make a lot of money. When you're not even certain what will take place tomorrow, what is your life? It is a mist, which is seen for a little time, and then it is gone. You know, the mist, especially there in that part of the world, because of where they lived off the ocean, there was a lot of mist some days, and then it was just gone. It didn't last long. It was evaporated and didn't last. But the right thing to say would be, if it is the Lord's pleasure, if it's the Lord's will, and if we are still living, we will do this or we will do that. A lot of ifs. But now you go on glorifying in your pride, and all such glorying is evil, or boasting, some translations would say. The man who has knowledge of how to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Here you have the picture. Someone making a plan, and nowhere in there does it have anything to do with God's part in the plan. Have you planned out much of this year already? If so, how much of that has been interacted with what God's Word says? We're going to see in just a moment. I didn't put all that in your notes, but I'm going to put it on here if you want to jot it down, because a lot of people are really concerned about knowing God's will because they think it's so complicated, and it really isn't. There's too many things already that we know that we're not doing, that God clearly states for us. And sometimes we wonder, why isn't God showing us when we're not doing already what we know to do? That is some of the problem, as we'll see. Most of us probably have too much interest in what's going to happen tomorrow, future, you know. We get overly concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow and forget to live today. We want to know what the year is going to bring us. Isn't that it? Everywhere, everybody wants to know, if we can just figure this out, then we can do this and we can do this. And sometimes we get so consumed with that, and people go to all kind of lengths to do that, right? They look at tarot cards, they read the horoscope. All these things, because that's what's going to tell them what's going to happen tomorrow. He's already said it. You don't have a clue what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know if you'll be dead tomorrow or alive tomorrow. You have no idea. So in your planning, how does that work? Some use conventional methods, but others use palm reading. Hello. I surely hope you've never spent any money at that. You know, or I had an uncle, bless his heart. I don't know if he ever got out of it because he was way too old to be still fooling with that nonsense. He said, I wouldn't even go out of the house or do anything before I read my, what you call that, horoscope. I didn't say anything. I was too respectful. I said, you lost your mind. No, I didn't say that. A horoscope. Are you kidding me? You made me want in here to do that. That's foolishness. You know, that's what that is. Or astrology, or to look at to just figure out what's going to happen tomorrow. No one knows. You don't know. I don't know. You know, what is going to happen? So in our planning, do we, well, let's go ahead, all right? There's nothing biblically wrong with trying to prepare for the future. How many times in Proverbs does it give us that? You need to do as much as you can here, think through this, do this, right, for what is ahead. But it can certainly surpass an unconsidered life if we're not careful, that we get so consumed with that we forget that God really does know what's going to happen to us tomorrow, and we might want to ask him about what is going on so in we making our plans that he has something to do with it because he does know. Many Christians seem to leave God out of the planning and the preparation equation and kind of throw their faith to the wind. Oh, no, this is what the trend is. This is what this is. Church has done that by and large too many times in the last 30 years in America where it's just a market plan. It really doesn't have anything to do with really what God says. And sometimes a lot of them get in trouble and they don't last very long. Why? Because that's not the way God said he would build the church. So we just kind of use everybody else's thing because they seem to know the future and we kind of leave God out of the planning part of it. And then we wonder why it flops sometimes. In the New Testament, James is talking about a first century wheeler dealer. You know, he's all about making money. That's what it's about. He said, I got a plan. I'm going to go to this town. I'm going to stay there for a year, and I'm going to make this money. That's all it was. And he was boasting about it. And that's why James, uses this situation to help teach them. He's boasting about all his plans, as we're going to see in one reference in the New Testament where one farmer did that, and he got into trouble. You know, Jim Cassily said that he was standing in a line at one of these card stores, and this man in front of him had bought 9 belated birthday cards. You know, the ones you send after the birthday when you forget it. And so he was just standing there and overheard a conversation because the checkout person asked him, he said, you know these are belated birthday cards? He said, yeah, I know. And she said, does that mean you've already forgotten 9 birthdays? He said, no, I think about planning ahead. I know I'm going to do it, so I'm just getting ready for it. I wonder if we're honest, how much of our daily activity do we allow God to have part in before we ever start going for the day? You know, do you think about what are you going to do and how you're going to do it and what's the principle in Scripture to guide that? Or we just already have our routine figured out. That's what he did. Oh, no, I'm going here. I'm going to make all this money, and I'm going to do all this stuff. And James uses that to say, you don't even know if you're going to be alive. How do you think you're going to plan all that? There are many just like him in Georgia and beyond who give no thought whatsoever. They call themselves believers, but God has nothing to do with their preparation. They just go out there and do their own thing and leave God out of it. Here's a couple of the first thing. We must be careful with self-centered planning. You know what that means, right? I'm at the center. All the planning is just based upon me and, you know, what I think, not really what God has to say. And you know what? As we're going to see in making our plans, God gives us all kind of principles to use as we plan our lives. You know, some things we start to do, we say, that is completely foolish. Why would you do that? The Scripture says this won't go anywhere. Quickly, how foolish it is to say today or tomorrow we'll go down to this town. Why? Because you don't even know if you're going to be alive. Do you plan when and where you will go always? I mean, how many of you just kind of shoot off the hip? Or do you have a plan? This is what we got to do. We're going to do this. And when you do that, do you ever think about God influencing that? Where you go, when you'll go? Do you plan the procedure? How are you going to do that? Is it a business thing? What does the Scripture say about that? Is it just a family thing? What does the Scripture say about that? Do you plan the profit? What are you going to do? Are you going to cut everybody else and take away from the people that work for you just so you can make more money? You see how that works? How are you going to make all that money? You know, how many times do we know people in the years who, you know, really didn't do their employees justice because they wanted to pay off their house early and they owned the business? And I'm thinking, wait a minute. That's what we're talking about. Every aspect of our life, whether you're a business person or not. What is wrong with that? If you're like this man, you're leaving God completely out of the plans altogether. You're not consulting what God really says about how you do this or why you, because it's there. There's a guideline. How to raise your children, how to do business, how to treat, everything is there. And that's where you say, well, how do I know God's will? The Scripture tells you so much of that already. As we're going to see quickly, maybe one of the reasons we don't know is we're not even doing what we know already. So why are we going to think God's going to give us something new if he can't trust us to do what we already know? Where is God is an instruction in his word in the continuum of our planning. You know, it's something to think about. As you start tomorrow, if you plan out your whole week, how is God influencing your timetable? You know, how are you going to do that day? How are you going to do the week? How are you going to work that out? Is that ever in the process? This guy, James gives an example. It wasn't there. The key to all of this is in verse 15. The right thing is to say, if the Lord wills, you know, are we supposed to have a plan? We are supposed to have a plan. God expects us to think through things and see how this is going to work. If the Lord wills, if it's pleasure, and we are alive, this is what we're going to attempt. How's how that work? Do we ever ask, Lord, what is your will for me in this? And then seek to find it by the Scripture. You know, you don't have to go to a palm reader to find out what you're supposed to do. You know, you could consult some older believers who are wise, and they might can help you, but you don't have to go outside of that. We have it all here with the Holy Spirit living inside of us and in his word. How do we approach this from a church perspective? How does this work? How about this? Do we ever say, God, bless what I'm doing, rather than, Lord, what are you doing? What are you blessing so we can get in on it? I remember, he's dead now. He was the main leader guy in El Salvador when I went over there on a mission trip a long time ago. And he was just a regular Joe, okay? But he'd been going over to doing mission trips, but he raised money, and he financed personally 5 missionary families in El Salvador and Nicaragua. And his thing was always, he says, you know, I don't want to try to figure something out. I just want to see what God's blessing and get in on it. That's right. See what God's doing. Where's he going? And sometimes we can know. You know, it ain't like we just have a vision someone sees down from the top and they hand it to us. And that's not always how that works. You know, that was a big thing a few years ago, right? In church stuff, oh, vision in this. And I'm thinking, a lot of that was just a bunch of malarkey. It just sold books. And really, a lot of it didn't have anything to do with really seeing what God was doing. It's like kind of a friend of ours just recently walked into church one day, and he's kind of a leader in the church. And they walked in, and the pastor handed him, this is the new vision. So he had enough guts to go ask him. He said, where'd this come from? Oh, he said, well, I gave it to the other leaders at the other meeting. You missed it. He said, where did it come from? And he was right to ask that. Where in the Scripture do you see how are we supposed to do what you say we're going to do? God wants to show us his will as we look into the future. How many times do we see that in the Old Testament where he's going to tell someone if they're paying enough attention? Do we really care? You know, because a lot of times, if we're followers of Christ, and if we're not so careful to separate some of that stuff from the world, what God wants to do will be in contrast to what the world wants us to do. So you got to ask that question, do I really want to know God's will for my life? because it's going to be different than what the world says your future should be, your plan should be. Look at this one. I didn't skip it, did I? No. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with mine eye. You know, to be guided with God's eye means that you got to be close enough in a relationship to Him to hear some of that, you know, and not far out from it. Look at this one. And your ears shall hear a word behind you. God's coming up and said, listen, I'm going to tell you this is what it's going to be if you're listening. This is the way we walk. This is the way walk in it. When you turn to the right hand and even when you turn to the left, I'll guide you. I'll tell you. So if you want to know what God's plan is for you, He'll give you a really good idea. Now, He's not going to tell you, you know, you need to eat at Zaxby's today. I'm not talking about that. There are a lot of people who get off on that kind of crazy stuff. That's ridiculous. He does leave some basic choices to us. You know, He's not going to tell you where you eat today. I don't believe that. I mean, He might tell you because He's been trying to get you away from Krispy Kreme and you're still going. I don't know. So He might. But as a general rule, He's not going to just zap you and say, you need to eat here today, you know, unless He's got someone that He wants you to witness to, then He might tell you to eat there, all right? But we're not talking about that specific. Are we willing to listen if God would guide us that way in the coming year? You know, He did it, still does it, if we're listening. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you in all truth. The question is, do we want to know? Why? Because I guarantee you, if you haven't been really, really walking close with the Lord Jesus and you start, He's going to point you in some different directions because, unfortunately, the church and the world have become so just alike, it's hard to tell them apart anymore. And even believers, it blows my mind when you read some of what these so-called Christian leaders out in the United States are saying, and I'm thinking, that is crazy. Why? Because that's another sermon, all right? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What does that mean? He's given us His Holy Spirit to help us understand from His Word what it is that He wants us, what He wants to do in us. As we long to seek God's will and listen, He speaks to us. We do not just have to flounder around all the time. Well, I wonder what I'm going to do here. I wonder what it is here. It doesn't have to be that way. There's a plan that God has for us if we really want to know it. That's the question. He has a plan for every area, not just for church, for our education, for our business, for our marriage, everything. How we react when someone does this. He has a plan for all of that if we want to know it. He has a plan for our lives. He is the portal to 2020 vision. You want to know what God wants to do? And the spiritual focus. Here quickly, this is not in your handout. So if you just want to jot this down, or I'll send it to you if you want it later. I'll put it in the thing Danny's going to put up on the message thing if you want to see it there. Here's some basic things. Number one, you start with what sins going on in your life that you need to confess. What does that mean? You got to stop and analyze. You got to stop and evaluate. Okay, what is going on in my life? How am I treating this person? What am I doing over here? Details. Think through it. You must deal with the sin in our life, how we're living what God wants to live first. That's where you always have to start. What am I doing now that ain't right? That's what confession means. I agree with God. Boy, this relationship I'm in, boy, that's not good. I need to get out of that. Deal with that sin, whatever it is. If it's a habit, whatever it is. If you want to know God's will for the future, number one, confession. Make certain there's no unconfessed, unrepented. Or at least you're thinking through it and said, okay, God, what about this? You know, it's like, same thing with your children. Why in the world, if they can't admit what they just did is wrong, why are you going to try to instruct them in some other area? Why? Because you know they're not going to listen. It's the same thing. God's not going to waste His time trying to tell us what He wants us to do if we can't even start here, confessing our own sin. Number two, consecrate yourself to Him. What does that mean? In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And what do you already know to do that you're not doing? Fix that. You already know this is how you treat this. This is where you go here. You already know some things. We know some things. Start by consecrating our life to the things that we already know. And then God might tell us something else. Do you really want to know the will of God, or do you just want God to help you with the plans that you're already making? You know, God, we're going to do this, bless it. And it has nothing to do with what he wants to do. Churches do that all the time. Number three, consecration. Concentration. Listen. You know, what does that mean? You got to get somewhere quiet. No television, no football game, no car race, no music. I don't care if it's whatever that, I don't care what it is. That yoga music that's supposed to enlighten you, that soft stuff, you know, that everybody listens to. Nothing. Nothing. The Holy Spirit is spoken as a gentle dove, as a still small voice. That's why we need to get quiet so we can listen. Now, have you ever thought about it? Just because you do not hear the music playing out there doesn't mean there's not music in the airwaves. Your radio's off. See how that works? If you can't hear anything from God, it's not that God's not speaking. You're not tuned in. You can't hear because all the other noise of life may be drowning out that still small voice that he wants to speak. So don't ever, you know, whenever you say, well, God's not speaking to me, it's not God's fault that you don't hear anything. It's going to be your fault because God is always trying to tell us and guide us what he wants us to do. Listen. You know, be ready to listen. Those three things quickly. We must be careful with the self-confidence assurance. You know, how much do you really know about your life? You don't know if you'll be alive tonight, do you? No. We kind of have this presumption that, oh yeah, we're going to live to be 70 or 80. We don't know that. How many people my own age that I've already outlived? Buried some of them a long, long time ago. They didn't know they were going to die, when they were going to die. No one knows that. We must be careful with that. You are not certain that you'll even be alive tomorrow, James says. You need to be careful. What is your life? It's a mist. It's here for one moment and then it's gone. You just try to have to remember, you know, only God knows how long anyone in this building is going to live. Only he knows that. So why not include him in the planning? Okay, God, if you allow me to live, if it makes it this far, what does it say? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring forth. You don't know. I'm going to do this tomorrow. Oh, yeah? If you get up, you might have a chance to do that. You might not. As you make plans, do you ever say to God, I don't know what the future is. I don't know how much more time I'll be alive. But, Lord, help me that I do not waste what I have left, that I will plan it according to what your will is for me so that it can be glorifying to you instead of, oh, well, I'm going to do this, I got to do this, I got to have this by this time and this by this time. Try farming and see if you can make all that happen. Ain't that right, Mr. Lonnie? Huh? How much can you control? Nothing. Well, we got irrigation now and you still can't make anything. Ain't that something? When I shouldn't say that. You can make something, but when you count the money that you don't need an economics lesson on farming, do you? No, you don't. Help me apply my days with wisdom. Lord, help me live out the rest of my days, whether they're few or whether they're many, that it can be used by you, for you, not just me. That's the plan. You know, Bob Buford wrote a great book years and years ago called Halftime. And very wise, if someone could start out early and read this book, because his understanding was he was going to try to work hard as he could the first half of his life, God willing, so that he could use the other half of his life doing things for God at no expense. Wow. He started planning early so that he would be able to work for nothing for God. Not that he threw God aside the first half. No, that was in the plan, part of it. How do we do that? How does it work? We must be careful with self-complacent delay. Oh, boy. You can. It's amazing what some of those crazy liberals out there say about this verse. They say, well, this verse is not even supposed to be in there. And how do they know? Well, it just seems doesn't fit. This verse fits everywhere. The man who knows to do good and does not do it, to them it is sin. Won't that fit everywhere? It fits everywhere. I mean, it does. Put off. Well, you know, I'll do that once I retire. How long are you going to live after you retire? How do you know you're going to even make it to retirement? I remember one old guy in the Baptist church in another part of the state that we were pastoring in, he wasn't a Baptist. And his theology was a lot different. And that's okay. He was an old guy, and I respected him. And he told me one day, he said, you know, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I wouldn't have wasted all my money. Ain't that right? He didn't have a plan. He still didn't have a plan, bless his heart. I hope he was saved. Careful how we in our delay. Well, I'll do that later. But you don't know anything you have but when. Now. That's all we have. How much time do you have? How long do you think you're going to live? Well, the Bible says I'll get 70 years. There ain't no guarantee on that. It just dropped down from like 120 to 70, which is kind of average if you make it to 70. How many friends do we have? They didn't make it to 70. They didn't make it to 60. Some of them didn't make it to 25. They didn't know that. We simply do not know that. Oh, well, you know, it's in my genes. I'm going to live a long time. Not if you go to Atlanta every day. Your chances just went way down because some fool is going to have a wreck in front of you and you're liable to get killed. Ain't that right? Look at the probability of that one. You don't know. Here's the situation. You know, the farmer, he said, oh, yeah, I'm going to build this barn because I'm going to make all this and I need these bigger barns and I'm going to do all this stuff. You know, he's got his plan and he's making all the money and God's not in the picture. And here's how the response is from God. Thou fool, this night your soul shall be required. He assumed that he had many, many years, and God said, oh, no, no, you're done tonight. How about that? Let's be honest. If you knew without a question that you would die in the night tonight, what would you do the rest of the afternoon? Would it change anything? Would it? That's the whole plan. We don't know. We should live just like we don't know what's going to happen, having God in the plan making. Here's a man just like us who knew what he ought to do, but he didn't do it. He was boasting about himself and what he was going to do and all that he's done. He's become complacent. He's aware of God's will, but he doesn't want to do it. Procrastination may be the biggest problem that most Christians have today. It's a very deceptive sin. What do you mean by that? Means you don't know what God has told me to do. So if I put it off and put it off, you won't ever know anything about that. Only I really know about it. So you'll think I'm doing okay when I'm not doing okay because I'm not even close to doing what God told me to do. How many times have I heard guys in the last 25 years, you know, they start getting serious about God and they say, you know what? I know God called me to preach 15 years ago, but I ran from it, and I didn't want to do it. And now I don't know what I'm going to do all the time. We look back and we say, God, I know you, I put this off, I want, and then it never happens. You know, that's the way it works. Why is it a greater sin to fail to do what you ought to do? You know, that's the sins of omission and then the sins of commission. You know what the difference is, right? A preacher asked a little boy one day, he said, do you know the difference between the sins of omission and the sins of commission? He said, yes, sir. He said, the sins of omission are the sins that we should have done and didn't. No, that ain't right. Omission are the things that you know you should do, but you don't do, whether it's a sin or not. The fact is that you don't do what God tells you to do. It is simple. If you're doing what you ought to do, the likely chances of you not doing right are really diminished. Isn't that right? If you're doing what you ought to do, you're far less likely to do what you ought not to do. See how that works? You still can do both of those, but it's less likely. Look at this. Someone called this understanding a bedside Baptist. We have a lot of those in Baptist churches. said about this man, he was a bedside Baptist. He wasn't much for stirring about. It wasn't his desire. While others worked to build their church, he was sitting by the fire. You know what that means, right? There's always something to do, but nobody wants to do it. There's always places for ministry, but nobody wants to do it. They don't have time. They got too many other things that they got to do. They don't have time. That's what's going on here. Some same old story day by day. He never seemed to tire. No matter what the others did, he was sitting by the fire. Just soaking it up, right? At last he died, as all must do. Some say he went up higher. But if he's doing what he used to do, he's sitting by the fire. And we're not talking about a warm fire. Isn't that right? You just put off and put off and put off when you know something needs to be done. Instead of coming to me and saying, why don't you do something about it? Why don't you do something about it? Well, we need to do this. Why don't you go start doing that? Well, I got too many things going on in my life. Everybody does. To those who know to do right and doesn't do it, to him that is sin. Boy, that's it, isn't it? Will we allow God to plan our lives in this new year? That's a great opportunity. To think that the God of the universe, who looks down the corridors of time, he knows where you're going to be tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen. So you allow him to give you some insight on how you should plan your day and your week and your month and your year so that the best will come out of your life and he'll be glorified. That's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? No, it doesn't work that way. What will we do in 2020. It is 2020, ain't it? It just sounds funny. Sounds like I'm leaving something off. How's that going to affect you? Will God influence your plans? Or are you going to just keep doing it the way you've been doing it and wonder why you're not any better off? And I don't mean just financially. Let's seek to allow God to influence us in our plans, individually as a church, for his glory. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you care about us. Lord, thank you that you know what's going to happen. Lord, thank you that you will allow us to understand so many things about what you want to do if we will honestly seek and listen and be willing to do what you tell us. Father, thank you that you care that much, that you have that ability to see and know. Ask you, Lord, to work in our hearts as a church, as individuals, so that we will allow you to help us plan for your glory and all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.